Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. And if you're wondering why the J, the answer is I'm not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense, I encourage you to check out episode zero, where I explain that joke as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where we talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. But of course, we start every episode by saying thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Last week, interesting topic of are you teaching pigs geometry or are you teaching geometry to pigs? And it's a quote that comes from a book called One to Many. And it's a question about whether your business is stuck just educating and not converting or not actually transforming. And I appreciate the feedback. It was definitely a bit of a clickbaitish title. I try not to do that. But I had some great conversations, particularly one just yesterday where I just sat down with some folks here in the area and we discussed that. They followed the seminar model of growing their business and we went deep dive on that. So I really enjoyed it. But thank you as always for the likes, the comments, and everything that comes along with it. But today, if you've seen the title of the episode, My Top 5 Bands of All Time, here is why. Presently, if you're following me on social media, we're doing a Rock and Roll April. Now, enroll is E-N-R-O-L-L, Rock Enroll. We're enrolling people into the Capitalize Your Best program. My goal is to impact 11 business owners in the month of April, and we're well on the way towards that number. But what I'm doing every single day is recreating album covers or reimagining the Capitalize logo in some sort of rock and roll tribute way. Now, guys, I'm not a skilled graphic artist. We have skilled graphic artists on for the company, but this has just been a fun project I'm doing. So some of them look great, like the Pink Floyd cover. Really proud of that one. The Grateful Dead one coming up. It's kind of okay. But I'm enjoying doing it, and every single day, I try to create a post. Imagining it with some of the lyrics and tributes to the band that I'm talking about. And then I offer a special. So for example, today, as I'm recording this, is Saturday morning, and I did AC/DC's Back in Black, which you might think might be an easy one to reproduce, but actually wasn't. It's pretty nuanced. And I'm offering a 48% savings on the 6-month program, Capitalize Your Best. Pretty crazy. But then I had fun just kind of writing that post along the line. That's one of the top 10 best selling albums of all time. So those songs are very much part of the culture. But today, so I thought, well, since we're doing this rock and roll theme, let's do one of our fun episodes. I haven't done a fun episode in a while. And I thought, well, I'm just going to share my top 5 bands of all time and share with you why I like them. And so if you care about lists and that kind of thing, or you want to know more about my musical taste, then this episode's for you. And I thought, man, I need to get some people on here and do their top 5. It would be a lot of fun to do that. So I'm doing my best to get back to having guests. But honestly, guys, I just enjoy my Saturday mornings talking to you guys here on the computer. And that's kind of become a new pattern for me now that we're not in the studio anymore. And I'm definitely enjoying it. So I'm having my coffee. I'm going to do my best for my slurps not to be terrible. I re-listened to last week's episode and I was like, wow, that was loud. And so, but if any of you know me, you know that my musical tastes lean towards heavy metal and hard rock. And folks are like, I can't see that. But, my parents, when I was 6 years old, gave me 2 albums. They gave me a Spider-Man album where you could listen to it and read along. It was a lot of fun. And they gave me Kiss Destroyer. Because I thought that also was a comic book, and that was it, gang. That was it. Detroit Rock City, Shout It Out Loud, King of the Nighttime World, Flaming Youth, Great Expectations. I mean, all that stuff just became woven into me at that point in time. So in the 80s, when my passion for playing music kicked off, I started out as a drummer. And really wanted to be a drummer in a metal band. When people say, what did you want to do when you were young? And I always go, I wanted to be the drummer of Motley Crue. That didn't work out. They've actually, believe it or not, I don't know if you know this, Motley Crue's actually had 3 drummers. One drummer, Randy Castillo, who passed away, and then Samantha Maloney from Hole was their drummer for a brief period of time, and then, of course, Tommy Lee. And then that morphed into me playing guitar because I went to college. I couldn't take my drum kit. And I've been a guitarist ever since then. Every now and then I get to play drums. But music is very much a passion of mine. And then in the 80s, guys, it was hard rock and heavy metal and glam metal and thrash and all that. So it was just an amazing time. Rolled into college and it was the 90s. And though I didn't, though I won't ever say that grunge was my music, music was very much alive. And so that's just, I mean, I can't ever help it since then. Now, eventually I broadened out and enjoyed jazz and Harry Connick Jr. and Miles Davis and broadened out. But I've got to admit that in the last few years, I've really kind of gone back to my roots. Hard rock and heavy metal. And you're going to find in this list, you're not going to find bands like the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. And I have absolute respect and love for those bands. I really do. I had a massive Beatles phase at one point in time, just playing guitar. Very much love them. In Led Zeppelin and some of those classic rock bands. But my top five bands I'm going to share with you. Now, many of you could probably guess what number one is. We're going to get to that. But I'm going to be honest with you. 5, 4, 3, and 2 rotate all the time. It really comes down to my taste. And when I look at this list, every one of these bands started in the 70s or 80s. And Amy will tell me sometimes, you got to get some new music. And there is new music I like, but you just can't get away from what you grow up with. At least I can't. And when I'm working, when I'm producing graphics or I'm writing copyright or I'm designing a seminar, music is a constant for me. I only listen to podcasts when I'm running or traveling, but if I'm creating, I don't typically listen to podcasts because I can't concentrate, but music does it for me. And so usually when I look at my Spotify top five of the 4 or 5 of these bands are always there. I know of a couple others that might slip in, but these are my top favorite. So I'm going to share with you the list. I'm going to share with you how I got connected to them and share some concert experiences because I've been fortunate to see all top five of my bands. So I'm going to start with number five. And number five is Yngwie Malmsteen. Yngwie is spelled Yngwie. He is a Swedish guitar player. He was really at the forefront of starting the neoclassical movement. He is a shredder. He is an absolute genius on guitar. Just, just amazing. Now, I found Yngwie when his solo album, when Marching Out and Rising Force came out and just blown away. And he had that brief period of time where he actually had a top 40 hit with Heaven Tonight and some stuff like that. Kind of leaned into that hair metal movement, but he was always a shredder. Just by shredder, I just mean just amazing number of notes. Neoclassical at his heart. He loves classical music. He loves bands like Deep Purple and Rainbow. But just phenomenal. And he used to have a band concept and he would bring in all those old British lead singers like Joe Lynn Turner, and he'd bring in Goran Edman and guys like that. And then he helped, of course, launch the career of Jeff Scott Soto. And just and so I have been fortunate. I've seen him, I think, 4 times. Pretty sure that's the number. I've seen him in some really random places. I'm going to admit, when I saw him at the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh, I am, with all seriousness, I attribute that concert to some of my hearing loss. I definitely have hearing loss. And I think that concert was one of the loudest concerts I've ever been to in my entire life. And I was very fortunate that about a year and a half ago, Emma and I went to go see Yngwie, and a band called Images of Eden opened up for them. And I was actually able to have the lead singer of Images of Eden on the show here. His name is Gordon Tisworth, and so another great Gordon. But we had front row, and I mean front. There was no one in front of us. It was not a huge crowd that day, but I got to witness, like, you know, Malmsteen right there, just as close as you could. And he doesn't really have a band concept anymore. He doesn't have a lead singer. He takes the lead singers, and his keyboardist does the lead singer. So now the band is sort of off to the side, and he's in the middle, and that's where he's at right now. I think I enjoyed the band concept a little bit more. But guys, just if Malmsteen puts out an album, I'm going to listen to it. Just phenomenal. He did a concerto, a classical piece that was just amazing. And you can get the studio and the live version of that right now. But guys, if you've never listened to Yngwie Malmsteen, definitely listen to him. If you want something that's a little bit more along the lines of pop sensibilities and not instrumental music, definitely check out his album Trilogy. I think that's where he started leaning into that. And then also look for the song Heaven Tonight. That was probably his biggest, like, 80s, like, metal pop kind of, he had a He had a pop sensibility in that point in time, but still with all the heaviness and the neoclassical. And so just check that out. I've been fortunate to see him. And then the last time I saw him, which was probably not the best concert of his that I've seen, but it was front row seats. And so just absolutely loved it. So Yngwie, and I'm going to mention Amy a lot here. Amy enjoys some of the solos, the instrumental stuff he does, and some of the ballads that he's created, because he doesn't really have any screeching vocalist. When I look at this list, three of the bands on here, Amy cannot stand the lead singer of, so it's kind of funny when it comes on. I play it and just kind of annoy her. But Yngwie, definitely number five. Proud to have shared that moment with Emma and go get to see her. Number four could easily be four, three, or two, depending upon my taste for the day. But number four is the 80s Christian rocker Stryper. I love Stryper to this day. They keep putting out good music. It's interesting. They're one of those. I know that Michael Sweet, the lead singer, doesn't like to call themselves a glam metal band, but they were. When you look at their image, you cannot argue with the hair and the makeup. But they were also the very first, like, very upfront, we are a Christian metal band. They would say we're a metal band who happen to be Christians, but they were very forefront of their faith. And there was a period of time in the 80s where I would only listen to Christian music, and Stryper was sort of my refuge because they were good. There was a lot of bad Christian music out there at that time. But now they've morphed into a heavy rock band, with a little bit of a Judas Priest feel, and continue to put out good music. I know that right now, online, they've got an acoustic tour coming out, but have just finished a new album. And you know what? I have emailed the lead singer Michael Sweet through my buddy Pete Evick, and we've emailed a couple of times, but I've never been able to have him on the show. And so I'm going to really kick up those efforts. I've spoken to his friends Pete Evick and Ron Keel. Those guys have been on the show. They all speak super well of him. But I'm hoping to have Michael Sweet on the show as we get closer to the album release. Guys, Robert Sweet, the drummer, they call him the visual timekeeper. He plays sideways, so you can see what he's doing. Phenomenal drummer, heavy-handed, super talented, but also super visual and entertaining. He was definitely in that Tommy Lee style of drumming. And guys, the album Soldiers Under Command is heavy as dirt and was really good. Then they morphed into an album called To Hell with the Devil. That is the lyrics and the vocal style that my wife hates the most in the world. She can't stand that song. But it helped me learn how to play drums. So I was able to see them in 86 and 87, or 87, 88. I can't remember. I was able to meet the first time we saw them, we were able to meet Robert Sweet, the drummer, who was my drum hero. The second time we got backstage passes and we were able to meet the whole band. I then later saw them when they reformed in the 2000s in Raleigh and was able to meet Robert Sweet again. So I think I've seen them three times, and each time I've had an opportunity to meet at least one of the band members, if not all four of the band members. And guys, they're a go-to. I will grab a Stryper album, or I'll just grab a Stryper playlist and play them quite often in the background. And they still get good rotation on shows like Hair Nation on XM Radio. If you have that, they are definitely respected from a musical ability. A lot of people don't like their lyrical choices. But guys, phenomenal. Michael Sweet, the lead singer, has put out like 10 solo albums or something. Most of those are really, really good. That first one, Truth, it's phenomenal. They've had some splinter bands, Sin Dizzy, Icon, and a couple others. Michael Sweet's done projects with George Lynch of Dokken, and just, I mean, a bunch. He did a really interesting side project with Tracy Guns of LA Guns. It was sort of like a Black Sabbath kind of thing. And just, I mean, he is a writer, producer. He just puts out music and he produces. So Stryper, again, could be number four. They could be number three. They could be number two. I absolutely love those guys. Don't love everything they've done. I mean, who loves everything a band has done? But guys, I love most everything they have done. And again, their last three albums have been super heavy and super good. I think what's being said about this new album, it's got a little bit more of the old school Stryper melody to it. And I'm looking forward to hearing that because their melodies are phenomenal. They're sort of Styx and Boston married Judas Priest. And then at one period of time, they're added a dash of glam. How is that? And they put out a cover album called The Covering, which is really good. They covered everything from Stryper to Scorpions. So, I mean, excuse me, Kiss to Scorpions. So I can go on and on. They are an underappreciated band because a lot of times people don't listen to them because of their faith. But then again, listen, not everybody who listens to Slayer is a Satanist. So it's kind of unfair that they didn't get a break. But Stryper is definitely number four. I believe I have seen them three or four times. It's funny these days, I can't remember how many. So that leads me to number three. Now, this band, Amy cannot stand the vocalist for. I absolutely love the vocalist for. And in 2019, I finally saw them. I had never seen them. And that band is Iron Maiden. I love Iron Maiden. Now, I was able to see that concert with Landry. And it was a last minute choice. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina for a couple of days. And I discovered they were in town and the lawn seats were cheap. They were like 20 or 30 bucks. And so Landry and I went. And you know what? We were able actually to move up and get some better seats, which is definitely a concert veteran trick. And it was when they were doing all these deep cuts. The show was amazing. Flying angels and airplanes in the air, and just, I mean, the visuals of the show were amazing. They sounded amazing. But guys, I've got to say that their live album, Live After Death, I have listened to a million times. That was right after they did an album called Power Slave, which was Egyptian themed. Iron Maiden is very they do lots of themed albums, kind of gothic. They'll sing about books they've read or things going on in Egypt. I mean, they're a heady band. Bruce Dickinson, their lead singer, is that way. And guys, I could just go to their music. But you know what? Typically, if I want to listen to them, I'm either going to pull up like a greatest hits spot list or spot playlist, or I grab one of their two albums. They've got a ton of live albums. Live After Death, I go to a lot, and another one they have called Flight 666. Which is a phenomenal live album. 666, because they have an album called Number of the Beast, which people kind of freaked out over. They're not Satanist, but in the 80s, everybody wrote a song about Satan. Even Stryper, theirs was just to hell with the devil on the opposite side of things. But they have put out some middling albums. But they're kind of in a groove. Their last album was a Final Frontier, or no, it was Sinetro. Forgive me, I can't pronounce. They're a little bit slower than they used to be. That's probably due to just songwriting. Their drummer, Nico McBrain, interestingly enough, is a professed Christian, and just but a phenomenal drummer. Just this massive drum kit, so big he says he can't even see the crowd. But their main songwriter is Steve Harris, who's an amazing bass player, who just has a style unlike most any other. I'm rarely going to go to Iron Maiden if I'm like, yeah. I mean, really, Iron Maiden is music that kind of runs in the background for me. My favorite song of theirs is called Hallowed Be Thy Name. They end a lot of concerts that way. And I think their rendition of Flight 666 is amazing. So typically, what they do now is they put out an album, tour, put out a live album, and then they just repeat. And so they're not retired. Their lead singer, Bruce Dickinson, the human air raid siren, just put out a solo album, which is not bad. I like some of his solo stuff. And Steve Harris has got a little side band called British Lion. Adrian Smith's doing music with Richie Kotzen. So we got stuff all over the place, but there's nothing like an Iron Maiden album. And what they do is they never tell you they're working on an Iron Maiden album. They'll just go, oh, the new Iron Maiden's coming out. And then we all can't wait for the covers because their cover has their zombie-like creature named Eddie. And guys, just as an 80s heavy metal comic book sci-fi nerd, me could not beat Iron Maiden. I mean, I've listened to Live After Death hundreds of times, maybe more than any other live album that I've ever listened to. But right now, I typically go to Flight 666, which is a very similar album. It's just got a couple extra tunes there. And then they were on Guitar Hero with Run to the Hills and Wasted Years, and they kind of branched over. So my kids don't love Iron Maiden, but they definitely know Run to the Hills and Wasted Years. But I was able to see them finally with Landry. So that leads me to number two. And again, this band could be two, three, or four at any point in time. But my second favorite band, guys, is Megadeth. Wow, I love Megadeth. Heavy band, thrash band, one of the big four, as they call them, that helped start the thrash metal movement. Dave Mustaine, their lead singer, principal songwriter, soloist, was a founding member of Metallica and was kicked out for doing too many drugs. We're near a band called Metallica, which is a combination of like metal, vodka, and alcoholica. And you get kicked out, you're doing a lot of drugs. So he immediately started a band called Megadeth. And that band was sort of a punky thrash band, and they put out a song, an album called "Killing Is My Business" and "Business Is Good," and people are like, "What is this?" But then they put out "Peace Sells, But Who's Buying?" and took off. David Ellefson, the bass player, who I interviewed for my blog, that when that was a thing way back in the day. Played this amazing bass line that Dave Mustaine wrote that was the backdrop of MTV News when that was huge. And then they had an album called Countdown Extinction. I think that was their fourth album. And they actually were a top 40 band and they were big. And they had their big moment. And guys, they've had a ton of lineup changes just constantly. The only constant is Dave Mustaine. And they put out an album, Dystopia, 6, 7 years ago, and finally won a Grammy. And that album is heavy as dirt. Like, unlike Metallica, Megadeth has continued to be heavy. And they had their moments, but they're heavy now. And then they put out an album called The Sick, The Dying, and the Dead about a year and a half ago. Phenomenal album. I have played that album over and over and over again. And they release small things like these weird little acoustic albums and some odd little live albums here and there. But guys, I've got a playlist on Spotify with every single song they've ever recorded. I didn't create it, someone did. And that goes on repeat a lot. Absolutely love Megadeth. Interestingly enough, both Dave Mustaine and the former bass player David Ellefson have claimed to be Christians. And Dave Mustaine is still very upfront about that. David Ellefson got into a little bit of trouble with a fan a few years ago, kind of tarnished his image. And he's no longer a member of the band because of that, but he has a bunch of side projects: Metal Allegiance, Altitudes and Attitudes, Fate. I can't like it's spelled really weirdly. And he just plays all over. I mean, he gigs with everybody, and so just a very, very active guys. They've all written books, and one of my favorite guitarists in the world, Marty Friedman. If I ever do a top five, he will be in that list. Was their main soloist for a good chunk, like five albums, and just during their heyday, if you want that. Guys, I just don't get tired of Megadeth. I really don't. Dave Mustaine, again, kind of a whiny voice, like, "Hello, friends." He kind of not a vocalist by training, but definitely part of the Megadeth style. Phenomenal. I mean, their solos. I mean, and they've gotten heavier. And I think as I get older, I like heavier and heavier music. But Megadeth right now, solid number two. They could rotate anyway. So that top five was Yngwie, Malmsteen, Stryper, Iron Maiden, and Megadeth. And so my number one band, which always sits number one, and I think most of you know this, but my number one band is Kiss. I love Kiss unapologetically. They're not a guilty pleasure. I just enjoy listening to them. And if you get past all the makeup and the extravagances, they're phenomenal musicians. Widespread just respect for them. Every band on here has respect for him. Interestingly enough, Yngwie tried to audition for Kiss in '83. Stryper has mentioned their legacy and has covered them on the covering. Iron Maiden opened up for Kiss, and Megadeth, just huge fans of Kiss. They were going to do a cover album, cover song for them. David Ellefson recently was on the Shout It Out Loud cast talking about how much he loved Kiss. The guys, their impact is amazing. 100 million records sold. And even now, when they have finally truly retired, I think they just sold their image for $300 million. They will continue on. But yes, I got exposed. My parents exposed me to them at a young age. And I just, again, I'm a heavy metal, horror movie comic book nerd, and Kiss is there with all the makeup and everything. And so loved all that. I followed them when they took the makeup off in the 80s and the early 90s, and then when they reunion. Now here's the amazing thing. I have seen Kiss 6 or 7 times. I never got to see the original lineup. I never got to see the original four. They reunited in 96 and I didn't get to go, and I really regret that. But I've seen them 6 or 7 times in various incarnations. I've seen each original member. I've seen three-fourths of them perform together. And recently, a year or so ago, I got to go see Ace Frehley, my guitar hero, in concert. And my buddy Pete hooked me up with backstage passes, and I was able to meet him personally and get his signature, which was very, very cool to meet one of your guitar heroes. And so just yeah, guys, Kiss. I have several playlists for them. I listen to. I have a every song they've ever played, which is like 200 and some songs. I've got a Gene Simmons playlist I listen to a lot. I got a best of the solo albums. I mean, they just continue to be the band I listen to the most. And even if I take a break from them, which I will do, Spotify keeps just feeding them to me when they create my playlist for the day. But it's funny, a couple of things that people may not know. When I was leading music in the churches that I planted, sometimes I would rearrange the choruses to fit the patterns that you'd find in Kiss songs. So, for example, in Rock and Roll All Night, there's a part where they stop and they're like, I want to rock and roll all night. Music stops and the crowd goes, party every day, and then comes back. And there was a song we used to do called Shout to the North that I rearranged the chorus in that same way, where the nations will sing and then everyone else would join in. So I often would kind of rearrange worship choruses to the style of Kiss songs. Don't tell anybody. And that was a lot of fun. Every time I played it, I just kind of gave it a wink. But guys, those are my five favorite bands: Yngwie, Stryper, Iron Maiden, Megadeth, Kiss. I did not mention great bands like the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses, guilty pleasures like Poison, heavier new bands like Slipknot. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I'm listening to music constantly, but these five can't seem to get out of my rotation. They just come up every single year. And since this is Rock and Roll April, I wanted to share with you purely this indulgent episode where I shared who my five favorite bands are. I might do some more fun episodes, five favorite guitars, five favorite drummers. Need to bring on some guests for that, just to get you some other inputs other than mine. But since this episode is a fun episode, a little different than the faith, family, and fitness and finances we normally talk about, appreciate you hanging in there. And if you're interested in Rock and Roll April, definitely check out my Facebook page where I'm sharing those specials every single day. Or you can just go to capitalizeyourbest.com, capitalizeyourbest.com. It's these words right here with .com, and set up an appointment with me, and I'll be glad to tell you about it. So guys, thanks for listening. Appreciate you indulging me on this fun episode, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. Thanks, gang. Bye-bye.